Yo, Nicole, I got a spell for you.
Ooh.
Birds fly, dogs walk, but this cat no longer talks. Who do you think I'm talking about?
Cat Stevens.
Who? I know Cat Williams. Are they related?
Cat Dennings?
We're losing track. Yeah. What am I talking about with this spell?
Salem.
Salem Saverhagen, who does not talk anymore. And that's what we'll be talking about today here on Remakes, Reboots, and Revivals.
An original podcast.
About
unoriginality.
Let's go.
I put a spell on you, and now you're mine.
That's Hocus Pocus. Come on. Hey, familiars.
Hey, familiars. Yes, I love that.
You guys
that.
Are listening to Remakes, Reboots, and Revivals.
So with us always, we got Josh and Eddie Z. Say hi, guys.
Hey, guys.
Hey. That's not okay. That's good.
Eddie's off mic.
Eddie is off mic. He's doing research for us. As per you.
He's in the zone. We put a spell on him to focus.
Mm-hmm. Why are we talking so much about spells, Nicole?
Because today we are talking about a witch, a teenage witch, by the name of Sabrina.
So what do people know about Sabrina the Teenage Witch? Because I actually, up until we started doing research for the show, I thought that it was just a show from the 90s.
Mm.
It turns out a little bit more than that.
Way more than that, actually. So yeah, we're doing the 1990s sitcom and now the new Netflix reboot.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it's time we go back in time. 1962. What happened? So in 1962, John Glenn orbited the Earth, guys. First American to orbit the Earth, John Glenn. We also had the Cuban Missile Crisis. Marilyn Monroe sang happy birthday to JFK. And in October of 1962, Sabrina Spellman was introduced into the Archie comics. Archie's Madhouse, number 22, I think it was.
That sounds right.
That sounds just
Archie's Madhouse is definitely the correct one.
So Sabrina then had her own comic book. Archie lives in Riverdale, and she lives in a neighboring town of Greendale.
Greendale.
Actually, fun fact, the very first image that you see of Sabrina in the Archie comics, they used in that Netflix opening, too.
Oh.
When it said based on the Archie comics and you see her there,
yes.
That's the very first image that was ever drawn of Sabrina Spellman. So we're not going to focus too much on the comics, but just so you know, she's part of that whole Archie comics, which I knew by doing research, includes Josie and the Pussycats.
Oh, you didn't know Josie and the Pussycats were Archie?
I had no idea. I don't really know what the fuck Archie is. I didn't even know until a week ago that Riverdale, the show that people are obsessed with, is that. I just thought
Archie
it was some comics. TV
no,
show.
No, yeah, Archie. You don't know about Archie comics?
No.
Man, Archie comics, that long American history that they have.
But so according to my research, Sabrina was in a bunch of different comics. She was in Afterlife with Archie. She was in Archie versus Predator, which is
really?
A crossover.
Is that a real comic book?
That is
the
a
Predator
real one.
Has crossover with many people. There's a Batman versus Predator.
I'm sorry for anyone who's like super big into the comics and like wants me to really go through into the history, but we really are just going to focus on the TV versions here. But we just wanted to give you the overview. She's based on a comic book character. And they actually rebooted that comic book in 2014. They called it The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, which mm-hmm. later on when we do the Netflix version plays as the basis for that.
Right.
But I also think I think they took a lot of liberty with the Netflix one. But we'll talk about
there's
that.
There's so
later.
Many callbacks even to like the original series from the casting.
There is, yeah.
I think so we'll talk about that for sure.
For sure. But yeah, so that's the history. So now let's go on over to 1996.
So right before we, the Sabrina that we know and love on TGIF, there was a Showtime original movie that was produced by Melissa Joan Hart's mother, I want to say. It was definitely, I know the show was heavily influenced by her mom's influence. She had the production company. But they had done the movie, Sabrina the Teenage Witch, which was Sabrina. Her last name was Spellman, but Sabrina was living in Riverdale. And she turns 16, discovers she's a witch, and begins using her witchly powers to, live life as a teenager.
Yeah.
I think she ends up falling for the wrong guy, who was played by Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah. Or that's who she was pursuing.
That's who she was pursuing, and he was kind of a dickhead.
Yeah.
As I imagine Ryan Reynolds is in real life.
Oh my God, don't.
And she does end up with Harvey, as is canon, you know. Harvey and Sabrina are the Romeo and Juliet
yes,
of
yes.
this series.
Oh, yeah. In the comic books, the foundation of the story that we know for Sabrina was laid down. So we should go over that. She is a half mortal, half witch.
Yes.
She's raised by her two aunties, Hilda and Zelda.
Yes.
She has a cat, Salem, who is a, they call it a familiar.
The story of Salem changes depending on which iteration we're talking about. But
yes, the foundation in the comic book was that, and that he had a world domination on his mind, but he was punished for that very mm-hmm. reason. And he has to live a certain amount of years as a cat.
Yes.
And she's in love with a human boy named Harvey Kinkle.
Yes.
And that is the basis that they've established in the comic book that pretty much stays throughout every other version.
Right.
So back to the TV movie.
So the TV movie gets made. I don't know anything about its ratings, like if it was successful or not. I remember watching it as a kid, but I watched it after I started watching the original 90s TV show.
Mm-hmm.
So I was confused as to why there were some people. Like, there's an Aunt Zelda, there's an Aunt Hilda, but they weren't the same actresses, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I was myself confused as a child.
It feels like it plays as a kind of a pilot for the sitcom version.
It does, but the pilot itself is kind of retcons everything again. You know?
Yeah, it does, for sure. So the TV movie was in 1996.
It was in 96. Uh-huh. Is that when it came out? So then ABC picks it up for a TV show.
Which was also in 1996. It was like really like quick succession of each other. But the TV movie Showtime, ABC picks it up for a sitcom. Puts it on their TGIF Friday lineup, right?
Yeah, TGIF.
What else was in that?
We had Boy Meets World, Step by Step, Family Matters, Hanging with Mr. Cooper.
Mm, yeah.
It was quite the iconic lineup for the 90s.
Yeah, so quote-unquote iconic.
Everyone knows TGIF.
All right, so let's cast a spell and go into the 1996 sitcom and talk about that. To hide the heart from conflicting clashes, what we need are rose-colored glasses.
So now we're looking at the 90s with rose-colored glasses.
Yeah.
Let's go. Sabrina the Teenage Witch starts when she turns 16. She had just moved to... Oh, I don't remember the name of the town, to be honest.
It's not Greendale in that one?
No, it's not Greendale. Anyway, she just turned 16, and that's where her powers get activated. And that's where she learns that for her next 2 years, while she learns to be a witch, she can't see her mother, or her mother becomes a ball of wax. For some reason, right? That's like the punishment for being a half mortal, half witch.
Yeah.
And at first, she doesn't believe that she's a witch until she finally talks to her father, and then she comes to accept the fact that she's a witch and starts taking on the responsibility of a witch. Because ultimately, the show is really about, like, you know, even with all this magic powers, the problems of a teenager are still the problems of a teenager.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know. Like, they're universal, no matter what kind of magic powers you have.
Yes.
And so for the first 2 years, she is kind of studying to be a witch. Second season, she has they introduce this character called the Quizmaster.
Yep.
Who is quizzing her, like, to, you know, test her knowledge of being a witch.
Yeah, but the whole second season, it seems like the quest is for her to get her license.
To get her license, which she gets at the beginning of season three. However, to finally get the license to be activated, she has to...
Like, solve a puzzle,
right? She has to solve the family history puzzle, right?
Yeah.
Season four, she and Harvey are official... they officially break up at season four. That's, like, senior year.
Mm-hmm.
And she starts getting a love interest with Josh, who was way hotter than Harvey. I think he was, like, a coffee barista. And that's...
College boy.
Yeah, and the following season, she goes to college. And then from there, the show kind of just, like...
Yeah. Well, didn't it move over to a different network and then they tried to change it?
At season five,
yeah.
It and moved it over to either WB or CW. I don't remember what network it was on. I don't know what it was at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it moved over to that network and it kind of, you know, we followed her in college.
Yeah.
And season five saw the ending for basically the aunts
mm-hmm.
because season six was just really focusing on Sabrina herself. She ends up with Harvey.
Yeah, yeah, Harvey, like, goes in and out of the show.
Right.
So a lot of things change.
In Sabrina the Teenage Witch, Sabrina and Harvey had a very on-again, off-again relationship. Interestingly enough, the show doesn't necessarily focus on, like, them being, like, the star-crossed lovers until the very, very end. Mm. They were always, like, the couple, but, like, their adventures never really necessarily always focus on them being a couple, if that makes sense. Like, Cory and Topanga, the show was always about Cory and Topanga. Sabrina and Harvey, the shows were always about Sabrina. And sometimes it had to do with Harvey. Sometimes it had to do with her being a teenager. Libby.
That's true. You know? One of the things I liked, too, because, Libby was, like, her arch nemesis.
Who was my favorite character.
Yes, Libby's great. But I also like that Harvey's not that bright and like Sabrina's just like light years ahead of him. She still has an appreciation for him, but I kind of like that it's like, oh, this little, you know, daft boy, but he's so cute.
He's interesting thing about Harvey. He starts off as popular in the first season. And then by season two, like they just kind of like they make that go away, right? Because now he's kind of a freak because he's dating Sabrina, right?
Yeah.
According to Libby. And I take everything Libby says as Bible.
As the truth. Yeah. She's kind of like Paris in that way. Gilmore Girls reference, guys. Sorry. I would say, though, that Harvey still kind of draws that line because Libby still lusts for him.
I think once he starts dating Sabrina, like she's just like grouse.
I saw the Disney episode where she was just like pursuing him the entire time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, see, there you go.
But whatever.
So Libby herself has an on and off thing with Harvey.
But the big thing in the Sabrina sitcom that a lot of people remember and like about it was Salem.
Of course, Salem. So Salem was a cat. Well, he was a cat, but Salem Saberhagen was a warlock. He tried to take over the world. As a result, the Witch's Council punished him, and he is under house arrest under the care of the Spellman family, and he's to live 100 years as a cat.
Yeah.
Yeah, Hilda participated with Salem's worldwide takeover, and that's why he's under her care.
Wow. I love
that's her punishment.
How, like, in both iterations of Hilda, she's always a barista. Like, Hilda's just meant to serve coffee, it seems.
Sabrina, when the women folk aren't around, men can relax and open up about the big stuff.
Tell me what the big stuff is.
Sorry, honey, but in the words of the immortal bard, that's for me to know and for you to stay up nights boo-hooing, because you'll never find out.
Men.
Women.
Cats.
The first season, you even notice, like, he talks, he's funny, but they don't start really developing that character until like season two.
Once they realize
he's a breakout star.
He's super one note in like the first season, just delivering sassy comments, and then he has way more involvement in the later seasons.
Yeah, he's so much fun. Interestingly enough, because of the TGIF lineup and the popularity of Boy Meets World and Sabrina, the two shows actually exist in the same universe. Because Salem actually crosses over into Boy Meets World. And then he sends them back in time for an episode.
Holy shit.
Yeah, I remember that. It was like a special weekend. Sabrina. Yeah, I think she was in an episode. Right. So, yeah. Sabrina and Boy Meets World. Same universe, guys.
Oh, wow. Same shitty universe I would never want to be a part of.
I would love to be part of that universe. Oh, yeah. Crossing over. You want to do that because that's how you build audiences, right? Because if one audience is watching one show, and you want to get them to watch another show to build that audience, that's how you do crossovers. Yeah.
There is this, the thing about the show that I really liked, though, was Sabrina herself. There was this one episode where she switched personalities with Libby.
Oh, yeah.
And in that one, she was actually more evil. She was the classic more witch who just like wanted to rule the world and like didn't give a shit about anyone. Yeah. But then they like swept her back. And then she was just like really light, nice and kind. And I love that weird reversal where it's the witch who's more pure of spirit and of heart. And this human being is like a total piece of shit garbage person.
What I actually liked about that episode, I wouldn't call her garbage. She had like,
I love Libby, but she is garbage.
Ideas of like grandeur. And that's what I actually liked about it, right? Because the question then becomes like, if Libby herself was a witch, what would she do with that power? And it becomes... So I don't think it necessarily has to be the fact that like she's human or a witch. It's more about like the person, the soul.
True.
Right? And it's Libby herself being like kind of that horrible person. I related to Libby the most, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
Like Libby and Salem were my favorite characters. Libby because like she was a bitch.
She was.
And I realized just like shit, like I was kind of a mean person in high school and college.
Yeah,
and sometimes like I just would take cues of like Libby just like walking past him and be like, ugh, you know, that kind of, I would do that.
You were that person.
I was that person.
You're terrible.
I still am.
Sabrina was also in Clueless, the TV show.
Oh my god, that's so funny because her friend in college was in Clueless too. She was Amber from Clueless.
That's so funny. I do. Oh, there you go.
Yeah, you didn't remember that?
No, I don't remember much of the college years because I stopped really watching.
Oh, okay.
Once you went to college.
It's just the most 90s thing ever. Revisiting it in 2018, which is, what is it, 22 years later from when it first debuted? Yeah. It's so 90s. So and it's like so caught up in like really basic teenager stuff. It's really charming that her second season goal is literally to get her license. And in like some episodes, you know, like she uses her magic just to like feel like, oh, is he going to ask me out tonight? Does he like me and all this stuff? And it's just, and it's really innocent. It's more, this Sabrina, I feel like, is more mortal. Then and is more in tune with her mortal side, and like the witch but also they define what it is to be a witch in the Sabrina sitcom very differently than, I don't know if they do in the comics. I'm not sure. I didn't read any of the comics, but they do in this new reboot, which we'll talk about. But this is very, almost like fairy godmother-ist, where like a wave of your hand and you can just do something like really simple. And you don't even have to like cast a spell or sacrifice anything to do it. It just simply, you have this power.
It was very Bewitched-like.
Yes, very like, much like Bewitched.
Like, that's the show that you would probably most associate. It was Bewitched for a young audience, like a family audience.
For sure. And it's more like a fairy witch.
It is. Too. It's like, it's a wholesome show. Like, it's funny. Rewatching this, I rewatched the show a few episodes thinking it's just like, I'm probably going to hate this show because it's probably so like sugary and like old and like, you know, wholesome. And yet I'm watching it just like, oh my God, this show is so good. It's good because it is a wholesome. There's nothing like threatening about it. There's nothing like it's one of those shows that like surprisingly I think I could definitely show like a child in like a few decades. Like it, you know, it doesn't have all the glitz and glamour of like new TV shows, but it has like a wholesomeness that kind of like, it's funny.
True.
Some of those jokes still carry over.
It's for me, sometimes they jam pack so much and then like they try and make these big messages and then they like wrap it up too quickly in like a nice little package at the end.
That's a product of its time.
And well, I mean, yeah, it's a product of its time, but at the same time, it's just like, it's the format, and it is because of the wholesomeness that like sometimes they try and take these big issues things and then they don't really do it justice. And if you can't do it justice, maybe don't do it at all. But I didn't watch every single episode, and this is just me now like really preparing like 20 or so episodes before this show. But overall, I do think that it's better than some of the things that came out in its time period for like representation of girls and all this stuff and what it was like digging down to its audiences where like you know, almost like self-worth and like self-growth and all this stuff is really important. It was more about that than her life as a witch, because also they say she's half mortal and half witch, so obviously there's like something really magical, I'm gonna use the word magical loosely there, but like really magical going on in her life, but they never really explore that.
What do you mean?
Like, what did she have to do to become half mortal? And what does it mean to be half mortal?
It means
and like,
that, oh, her father was a warlock and her mother is a human.
But like, okay, so when you say things like when you're only half human, what the fuck is the other part of you and what did you have to do to get there? And so like witches folklore for many years have been
yeah, but I don't think so. This version of Sabrina though doesn't really deal with that. Like,
but that's the thing, they don't deal with it at all.
Because
which
in
is
that
interesting.
World, magic is more like, what's it called? Magic isn't like, there's no real concept of like God and like Satan in these shows.
No,
this
there's
show,
not at all.
Right? It's more like, it's just almost like a parallel universe, actually, a different dimension.
Yeah,
where magic comes from, right? Because they're always going to the other, they're always using the portal,
the other side,
the other dimension. So I don't think it's necessarily, I don't think it's more like that. It's like, what's it called? There's one world, like one universe where there's magic beings, and there's another one where there isn't.
What I'm trying to say more is not like I have a problem with it. I'm just saying that they don't really talk about the consequences and the sacrifices that have to go with that lifestyle and what it is to be half of something, half witch, half mortal.
I disagree. They do. In fact, like,
I didn't really see much of that with the ones that I saw.
That's the entire point of like season 2 and 3. Season 2, especially the season finale of season 2, she has to ultimately decide is like, what. Like, you need to decide, basically, do you want to be with your mother, who's immortal, and that's forbidden upon, like, she can't have any contact with her, or do you want to be a witch? She chooses
her
mom.
But that's also about herself. That's not about, like her lifestyle and what it is to be. Like, that's, oh, do you want to live this life or that life, and that's up to you and how you want to grow
about,
as a person.
She has to pick her humanity, or she has to pick, like, her magic abilities. Then there's season 3 that is explored more, because they changed the rules in the Witches' Council, and now she can't touch her, she can't see her mom at all, period.
Okay, all right, whatever. So I obviously did not watch enough episodes of the Sabrina, but like that's just what I grasped from it. But at the same time, yeah, if you watch it, they just don't really focus, like magic is just thrust upon you and there's not that many consequences, and they don't really take that time to explain why or
there's
how it just it
every
simply
episode,
is
there are consequences of the magic. That's
I don't think
the
so.
Show.
I
like,
didn't feel that way.
It's like she uses a spell, something goes wrong, and now she has to use usually her human side or learn a lesson in order to reverse the spell. I think this is all hindsight. I think it's just like, I think the reason is because it's just like, the show wasn't about witches' council. The show was Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
That's but that's the thing. Like, it's, I don't know, maybe I'm just not getting my point across, but like, she's simply a witch and that's it. There's no like talk about how she got it or the not a lot of focus on, you see the consequences and stuff, but it's like done in 2 seconds and then back to her normal life. And it was like, oh, I guess I'll never do that again.
Yeah.
You just don't really feel it. And that's just one thing that, and it's actually, it's not necessarily a bad thing.
Okay.
But it's just like, if a kid were to watch this too, and it's like magic thrust upon you and you have, no, it's like, you know, a Looney Tunes thing where like they beat the shit out of one character and then the next frame they're back again. You don't really like know how violence works and all this stuff. Like the idea of magic isn't really fleshed out, and it's fine. It just, it is what it is.
Yeah, because magic and violence, I wouldn't equate them because one is real, one isn't.
Magic is not real. Do you not believe in witchcraft?
Absolutely not.
Oh, this is so segueing us into the next version of Sabrina, the 2018 reboot. And let's cast a spell, right? Why not?
Stuff is messy. This place is a zoo. Make things that need it brand spanking new.
Postum automanchara tempo rostiva correctus electa corso explode. So you don't believe in witchcraft?
Absolutely not.
Well, interesting. You never heard any stories about brujas, which is the Spanish word for witches?
Yeah, I've heard of stories of brujas, but like, I think my parents themselves are also skeptics of like magic.
Interesting.
Yeah, I grew up in a very, religious household from my mom's side, but like my dad did not believe in anything supernatural, paranormal.
Oh. All right, you need to know something about me. I believe in that. I believe in ghosts. I believe in witches.
Yeah, X-Files poster says
I do, right? Trust no one. The truth is out there, guys.
Oh my god. So when we do X-Files, I'm definitely the Scully.
Did they?
Oh, okay.
They revived it. Yeah.
Sabrina in this new Netflix iteration is based on the 2014 reboot called The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, to the point where the opening credits are like taken straight out of the comics. Mm-hmm. And it's like really going back to its comic book heritage and like taking from that, but more of the reboot. And I think the plots are actually that much more similar.
Yeah, I've never read the comic series, so I can't say.
I haven't read it either, but researching it, it is pretty much her living with her two aunts, and that she has to decide on her birthday when she turns 16 if she wants to become a full witch or not, and whether or not she's going to sign her name in the Book of the Beast. So this one, mm-hmm. this version, has way more to do with the fact that witches, they sign their souls over to Satan, and then they are given powers, and they have to perform rituals and sacrifices and all this stuff in order to live. And that these people are devout worshipers of Satan.
They are devout worshipers of Satan. Yeah, that's actually, I think that's one of the elements of the show that I liked. Kind of like, again, you're seeing extremism,
mm-hmm.
and as we have like that trope of like the extremist, like Christian mom, Zelda played that extremist Satanist.
Yeah, she's an extreme. Yeah, like dear Satan. And like all this stuff.
Like very pious in that version of their religion. It's funny. Me and Eddie got a chance to see this Netflix special right before, maybe a few weeks before everybody, because we saw it at Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm.
And I think my gut reaction was just like, huh, this is a really interesting interpretation. Again, I didn't read the comics, but considering what I knew about Sabrina the Teenage Witch and the animated version that also came out during the same time,
mm-hmm.
This show was a huge departure. I think I like this. The reason I was actually drawn to the show was because it was still, in a weird way, a dark comedy. Because mm-hmm. there's parts about the show that were still genuinely funny.
Yeah.
Like, even the situations that they were in were just, like, laughable.
Yeah.
It was kind of that dark element of, like, they were sometimes a little gory. They were sometimes a little hypersexualized. They were sometimes a little...
sometimes a little hypersexualized.
It depends on the episode, right? Like there was
this show is hypersexualized.
I wouldn't say it's the most hypersexualized. It's not like Riverdale. Everyone is like naked all the time, I feel like. Mm-hmm. This show, like Sabrina was naked maybe once or twice, I think.
Yeah, but still, like the depiction of the female body is very overly sexualized and to the point where it's kind of uncomfortable. And I'm saying this as a woman, and mm-hmm. you cannot deny me at that.
How would you say that was hypersexual? How do you think the female body was portrayed in this show?
Okay, let's talk about when she was brought to the woods and she was supposed to originally sign the Book of the Beast and how they like...
They put in her like her teddy, I guess?
And yeah, she wasn't completely naked, but at the same time, it's like the depiction of the female body and just like little things like that where it's just like the female body is just like, again, one like an object and used for like purity and defamation of the body and stuff. And it's slightly uncomfortable. So yeah, it's overly sexualized.
Purity? I would argue it wouldn't be... It's interesting, right? Because
let's talk about
the whole point of the Church of Satan is to, like, kind
for the
of
Feast
be,
of Feast.
It's supposed to be... That's true. That's actually the one episode. I only listened to that episode. I didn't see that episode.
Oh, you didn't watch that
I
happen?
Didn't watch that episode. I was only listening to it only because I was actually doing work.
Oh, okay.
But so I can't speak to that one.
This show, in my opinion, crossed the line and was too embracive of Satanism to the point where it made me uncomfortable. Whether or not you believe in it, mm-hmm. it's so embracive of Satanism, in the sense where rituals, sacrifices, necromancy, cannibalism, orgies, like all the stuff that comes with Satanism, they 100% embraced, and like demons and all this shit. And I'm just like, oh my God, there's like Satanism for kids almost. Like, hey guys, Satanism's like fun. Like, hop in. Like, they are totally desanitizing it to the point. And it was like, I'm sorry, slightly uncomfortable.
I mean, I was ready to sign my name to the Book of the Beast. Because it seems like a good trade-off. Yeah. It's like you get to live for centuries and you get magic powers.
And
like,
only mortals get sent to hell? Okay, sign me up. Yeah, I don't want to go to
like,
hell.
Yeah, what's the punishment? I was just like, what is the drawback here? This is actually my biggest pet peeve about the show, was just like how Sabrina was just like, I can't. I love Harvey. I love my human life. It's just like, girlfriend, no. You need to like think about the long term here. You can live for centuries.
Don't even get me started on Sabrina. This Sabrina was so fucking annoying. It was like almost any time anyone in the Church of Night said anything, because their coven was the Church of Night, Sabrina was like, but what about the humans? And like was questioning everything, defied everyone, to the point where like I think almost the second to last episode, Zelda's like, I don't give a fuck what you have to say. Know your fucking place. Like, I think it's when she performed necromancy yeah. to bring someone back from the dead. What is wrong with you? Why are you doing that? And why are you like, I have to fix that and you can't stop me? Shut the fuck up. Listen to someone else. Care about somebody else other than yourself and what you want to do for stupid fucking Harvey and your friends, who like at this point are petrified of you, I think, and like give them their space. You are like, you rotten little piece of shit teenager. Like, that's how I felt after a while.
Like, I was a snotty, shitty teenager. We all were.
Yeah.
All right. I think.
Oh, did actually, you perform necromancy too?
I probably would have if I had a chance. Like, who doesn't want to commit, who doesn't want to, like, you know, raise a dead?
There is another path for me, just as there was for my father and mother, a third way. And even if there isn't, my name is Sabrina Spellman, and I will not sign it away.
It's like Romeo and Juliet, where it's like, oh my God, these teenagers are so stupid, but like a perfect depiction
actually,
of them.
I will disagree with you, though. I liked Sabrina's rebellious attitude, right? Because if you just take out the Satanism out of this, right? If you just make this a very Christian story, mm-hmm. where this is a church, she is standing up against the priests. She's standing up against the patriarchy.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's the
element. Oh, yeah, no,
here.
She is.
This is the element here that is very much present in the show. There is an element of man versus woman, mm-hmm. right?
Oh,
the
yeah.
Dark Lord is the male patriarchy, mm-hmm. and she is constantly saying no. In fact, like, what's it called, that plays out all the time in school,
right? But she's doing it for another man, a mortal man,
sometimes
Harvey, most of the time.
So I mean, she it's a humanity in her, right, where she's also thinking about humans. She's also mm-hmm. thinking about her other half, right? She's not just a witch. She's not just ready to just to only care for like the witches in her school that exists in the town somewhere, but yeah, no one knows it's there. I think she's always put, and her friends, for example, her main reason for not wanting to be signed to the Book of the Beast was because of Harvey, but it was also her friends. She didn't want to leave.
Yeah,
like,
Roz and
Cindy, Susie, yeah. And I think it's humanity, right? But I think it's also, I think that's what I liked about her rebellious style. She was always just standing up against the church. That, the Church of Satan, whether it's a Church of Satan or a Church of, the light, as it's called in the show, it doesn't matter. It's just about standing up against like what religion tells people you're supposed to do and always questioning that.
I like that aspect too. I just didn't like that she was doing it like for the stupid fucking reason that she was doing it for, like, for Harvey, and then she's sitting there telling Harvey like, you do it for me too, and it's like, would he do that for you too? Almost like too self, I mean, she's very self-absorbed, which is fine, she's 16, I get it, it's inaccurate, but like to the point where I don't know, it was just like, it was too much. And like Madame Satan, who is the best fucking thing about this show, mm-hmm. by the way. What's her actress's name? Michelle Gomez? I think. I looked her up because I was like,
she was good.
Amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
The Madame Satan character, who revealed herself to be Lilith. And if anybody knows the Bible, Lilith was the first wife of Adam.
Right. Is that in the Bible, though?
Well, it's not yet. No, true. Well, if you know the true Bible. She pretty much like forced Sabrina, like it was part of her plot to make her Satan's mistress.
Well,
at the end it was revealed.
She wants to make Sabrina Satan's number two right-hand guy, right? Not be the mistress. She wants to be the wife of Satan. She wants to be
she, the, she wants yeah. to be the wife and sit next to her on the throne, and then Sabrina can be the side piece.
Right, which
right?
not the side piece, like the what she what her role is. She's like the second in command.
Oh, okay.
Right, yeah. that's yeah. the thing, and she wants which, to be. I don't yeah. know why. I, yeah, they have. Why do you want to be married to Satan when you could still be second in command? You have all the power here on Earth.
Yeah.
Why?
Why sit in hell? Like that's is that fun?
That's probably fun for them. Hell sounds like a good time. Like you're just having orgies, like you said. So I think one of the major changes that you see here is more like the inclusivity of people of color. That the original Sabrina the Teenage, which while they had people of color in their shows, they weren't as important characters as they were here. So in the 1996 version of Sabrina the Teenage Witch, you had characters like the Quizmaster. He was black. Yeah. You had what was his name? Donald Faison's character. Dash. He was another person character. He was actually Sabrina's love interest. Mm-hmm. Then you also had the introduction of in season 4, he was a witch hunter. He became Harvey's best friend. He was in the football team, hot guy. He was Latino.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
then you also had she had her own kind of like mentee. She was like the quizmaster for something? Dreama. Thank you. That's her name. Yeah. And
RuPaul
was in it? RuPaul was in the show.
Hold the phone. When was RuPaul and Sabrina? And why didn't anyone tell me to watch that episode?
Sabrina Teenage Witch had a lot of guest stars. RuPaul was in it. Yeah. Britney Spears. Yeah. Backstreet Boys.
I don't care. When was RuPaul?
I don't know. I don't remember what episode. But yeah, so there were people of color in Sabrina the Teenage Witch. I think this new show, it kind of... these characters are more important to the storyline. Most importantly, I would say Prue, which is kind of the Libby type character for this show.
Yeah.
So Prue... She's a popular girl in the witch school, in the academy, in what it's called. Then you have her friend, not Susie. What was her? Roz?
Yeah,
Roz. So Roz is the other personal character in the new Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. And she has there's a curse placed upon her family where she's losing her eyesight. And that's kind of how she comes to discover that Sabrina is a witch in this storyline.
That's true.
And in terms of like other characters of inclusivity, we have actually Cindy. Susie. Yeah, yeah. I keep calling her Cindy. Susie. Yeah.
Who's transgender.
Transgender, right. Mm-hmm. So they never, she's being bullied, which is part of the reason why Sabrina doesn't want to even go to the academy is because she feels that she has to stay here in Greendale to protect Susie.
Yeah.
And as a result, they also begin that Wicca club, you know.
Yeah. Women, oh, yeah.
Inclusivity. Something, something, A.
Yeah. At first, I didn't know if I was being pandered to because I'm like, oh, these are such like cliche derivative millennials and stuff. And I'm like, oh, are you pandering to my need to see people who I can resonate with? And then like, oh, let's start a feminist group called Wicca. And I'm like, oh, man, I hope a man didn't fucking write this episode. But at the same time, I was very happy to see that representation. I was happy that as the show progressed, they went outside of that. And then they had like really great basic plot lines that had nothing to do with their identifications.
I agree with you. I mean, it's funny, right? Because I kind of, when I was watching the show and I knew we were going to do this, my instant reaction was just like, oh, Nicole's going to feel pandered to with some of these characters.
Of course. I want a t-shirt that says, don't pander to me, by the way.
However, I think, again, we're not the target demographic for this show.
We're
I think the target demographic for this show are the people who are watching Riverdale, which is younger audiences.
Mm-hmm.
And I think...
Which makes the Satanism level a little bit more perturbing, but continue.
See, the Satanism doesn't really bother me. It does not bother me really? So you guys are bothered by the Satanism?
Two people who believe in witches and witchcraft are very bothered by this portrayal. But we're corrupting our youth by also like showing shit like that. Like, hey, whether or not I'm like, hey, go to God and devote yourself to God. I also don't want people to like take that kind of stuff and ingest it and like swallow it without being like, whoa, this is kind of bad. Actually, it's very bad.
What? Okay. So, all right. Dissect that a little for me. What
it's
do you mean is
desanitizing
very bad?
That kind of lifestyle what? And those kind of things so that eventually if that were to be more integrated into our society, we wouldn't care because we've seen it and we're okay with it. And there's nothing. Satanism is cool, guys. Satanism is fun. It's saying there's nothing wrong with that type of lifestyle. And there is.
But they're doing all this shit for magic, which isn't real.
No, but also let's now say like, how do we like define magic?
So you're saying like
in this show they're given quote unquote magical powers, but they're also like they're they're sacrificing a lot. They're sacrificing their souls,
yeah, they're
and their lives for devotion to Satan.
Right.
Like, I would agree with you in terms of the 1996 version, because there's nothing that she's sacrificing and there's no talk about Satan. But in this one, they make it very clear.
Yeah, that they're working for the Dark Lord.
Mm-hmm. And that, like, your soul and, like, hellfire and all this stuff, and that anything you do has consequences and sacrifices to it, which is also more based in actual ritual witchcraft and Satanism. Uh-huh. I'm sorry, but that's not cool. And I don't want to be shown something like that that's, like... on the next episode of Sabrina, she's going to perform necromancy. Hey, you know, like, it just, like, has that feel to it where, I mean, for someone who doesn't believe in it, you don't see it. But I feel like it's being portrayed in this light where they embrace it too much and it makes it okay and acceptable. And I think that stuff like that is real, and therefore it should not be as embracive and as embraced, and it should be unacceptable to show in such a cool light.
I think then what that ends up, the problem with that is that you end up losing a lot of media by that mindset alone. We're talking like any show that has to do with terrorism, a Breaking Bad that glorifies.
I disagree.
No, because you're glamorizing these lifestyles. It's just a show. I agree with you, right? Sometimes media will infiltrate like what people like maybe think, but I don't think necessarily seeing it is going to make you want to do it.
No, I don't think it wants you to do it. It desanitizes it so that when you see it be done elsewhere, you're okay with it.
But
because you've seen it so many times, you know, when you see sex and when you see nudity, it affects you and all this stuff. So when you see like stuff like that, rituals and sacrifices, and when you see it, you know, when you see Beyonce perform a ritual at the Grammys, if I go that route, you think nothing of it. Mm-hmm. And it's desanitation, and it makes it more, and then it. And then if you believe like I do that Satan is for the world, then when they put it into your entertainment and into your media and it's literally right in front of your face, you don't care because you've seen it before and it's okay. That's what I'm talking about.
All right.
But and I also want to draw the line between terrorism. You can't really do anything about terrorism, but you can do something like Satanism is a route to follow that we don't want our youth to follow. So let's not show them this.
But then what about the drug lord TV shows that we have so many of?
Yeah, well, we also are way too into people who do bad things.
The anti-hero, I guess. I don't know. I feel like the Satanism does not bother me. It's not for
you. Are desanitized.
It's not real. It's not real.
I don't know. I think it's real.
The other major important person of color that I actually forgot we didn't talk
Ambrose.
About. Ambrose.
Yeah.
Who was also.
He was Salem, essentially.
He was basically Salem. Kind of sassy. He was under house arrest.
Mm-hmm.
And
pansexual.
They call him pansexual, but he's only engaged in homosexuality. So I don't just, he's a homosexual at the moment.
Yeah, at the moment.
Until I see him engage with a woman and a man openly, he's a homosexual.
Well, he took place in the orgy with Prudence.
Oh, I skipped that episode.
With Feast of Feast.
So there you go.
Yeah.
So I missed it. So, all right. So he's pansexual.
He'll fuck anything that walks.
Yeah. You know what? He's hot enough where I think not a lot of people.
Oh, he's
would
so
like.
Gorgeous.
He's so pretty. He's,
and his voice.
His
yeah.
voice. Yeah. Everything about him. They cast it properly here.
Although.
He's related to the Spellmans somehow.
He is a Spellman. Yeah. They're cousins.
As Eddie keeps appointing, there must be another sister somewhere who she must have like married a black guy. What about Madam Satan and Ambrose together?
You mean like. Watching them.
Like watching them like.
That is really gross. I'm not into voyeurism.
That's my one true pairing. More so than Sabrina and Harvey.
Oh, yeah. No, I couldn't. I didn't buy in any of that chemistry at all.
No, I didn't care. Every iteration so far of Harvey I've seen, I've hated. Including the animated TV show, because in the animated TV show, he was like kind of just dumb.
He's just like a pet. That,
all
like,
this
Sabrina
magic
wants.
Happening in front of his eyes. He's just like, what's magic? Magic's not real. And same thing here in this show where all this like dumb shit is happening around. It's just like, no, I nothing makes sense to me. He's
true,
dumb.
But this
he's
Harvey at least
character.
Had a spell put on him to forget. So like part of it is also his memory has been fucked with because of the curse.
That's true.
But whatever.
I think, what did you think about the storyline with him and his abusive father and the brother?
I actually liked that, yeah.
Oh,
I was like, oh, toxic masculinity displayed and like showing how it corrupted young boys and stuff.
I didn't care for it, but all right. I didn't think of it that way.
I also just want to say that this show felt like True Blood meets Harry Potter. Where it was just like, I was like, okay, this is just like pretty much if you were to put Harry Potter into True Blood. Yeah, like the academy and like performing spells and stuff was very like Harry Potter-esque, and like growing up and like abandoned by your two parents and like growing up an orphan and all this stuff. And then the True Blood aspect where it's just like, we're going to throw all these, you know, like supernatural elements in there, and it's really hypersexualized and kitschy, and like you said before, like a dark comedy. So I just wanted to lightning round.
Sabrina.
Which Sabrina do you like best?
It's funny. I actually did like this new Sabrina. And she looked a lot like Melissa Joan Hart. So that also kind of fed into me liking her a little more.
Okay.
But I think for my Sabrina, I'm going to go with high school Sabrina the Teenage Witch, Melissa Joan Hart. Now when she goes to college, I don't care for that.
Yeah. I'm going to have to agree with you. I thought that this actress, she's great.
Oh, yeah, she's good.
I think, but there were just some points in the show where she was too much of this rebellious, stupid, self-absorbed teenager that I wanted to choke her. And I actually like went from not caring for the aunties to like siding with the aunties and being like, this privileged little bitch.
I was always siding with Aunt Zelda.
Yeah, I love Aunt Zelda. Aunt Zelda. I want her to raise me.
The best.
Yeah. So then with the aunties, who do you prefer? Zelda and Hilda from the 90s? Or?
Well, all right. I'm going to do them individually.
Okay.
Okay, so we'll start with Aunt Hilda. My favorite Aunt Hilda is Carolyn Ray's Aunt Hilda from the 1996 Sabrina the Teenage Witch. My favorite Aunt Zelda, and this is unfortunate because I love the sitcom
Beth
Zelda.
Broderick?
Yeah.
But it's Miranda.
It's no, this actress, she, the way they wrote the character, she's so cold. She's so, what's it called?
She's a matriarch.
She's so straight and arrow. She's straight like an arrow.
Mm-hmm.
She's so...
An extremist.
I'm for this Zelda. So yeah. new Zelda for sure.
All about both of the new aunties. I did not care for the Caroline Rhea.
Ugh.
I thought I would go back and like her more, and I just didn't find it. I wasn't charmed. Yeah, so I liked both iterations of the new aunties. I liked their dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
They were more fleshed out. Obviously, they had the chance to be. But I also love like when the demon came and was praying in their subconsciousness and mm-hmm. stuff, like that relationship between them. And then almost the role reversal at the end where Zelda was like, come on, let's do this. Let's raise her together. You and I forever. And Hilda's like, yeah, I'm moving out. You're fucking a son of a bitch. Like, I hate you. And you're finally going to realize that you've ruined my life.
That's not why. It's because she's growing up. She's kind of maturing.
She is.
Because it's also implied that she was a virgin still.
Yes. But she was also realizing, you know, like she was starting to get the strength to fight back to Zelda, who was cruel to her entire life. And deep down, like we said from Body Bat, Zelda knew. And she was like, I'm going to lose her soon if I don't like shape up and tell her I love her.
Okay, so I think we should do Salem versus Ambrose.
I guess, because the Netflix version, apparently it's because the actress, she's allergic to cats. So they couldn't really do the Salem part. And I think they made a creative decision to not make Salem anything like the 1990s version, because also one, they couldn't compete. It's kind of disappointing.
So many camera tricks you could have done to like have them look like they're in the same frame.
Yeah. And just, I don't think Salem was enough in it. Like Salem just popped in every so often.
I do like the times that like Salem does pop in, right? Like when he's giving Batty Bat like to Chase, right?
Yes.
Like, I thought that was cute.
That's true.
Salem also saves Sabrina, I think, in the very first episode when she's being chased by the Scarecrow,
does,
right?
Yes.
So he does like, he does have his, like, he that does have his like, own action sequences.
But at the same time,
it's not the same as the sassiness as Salem is.
True.
But
I love the new version of Salem though, because like it was just following around and meowing and my cat, you know, like it made me think of my cat and like, oh my God, like why can't this be us, you know?
So I say lightning round for this one should be Ambrose versus Salem.
Okay.
So I'll ask you, Ambrose versus Salem.
That's actually a tough one because the more I watched the original, I really grew to like the character of what they did with Salem and like his little remarks. And he was funny and charming. And I think Ambrose is beautiful. And I really liked like the role he played for Sabrina, where it was like, I'm not really your aunties and I'm not like the person who's there to like guide you, but I will give you the advice you need. And like the other voice and call you out, like the necromancy shit. What the fuck is wrong with you? Yeah, and he's like, I can't, like, I'm not going, no, you are losing your fucking mind. I guess maybe Ambrose?
I mean, Salem versus Salem, 1996 Salem for me, but Salem versus Ambrose, I'm going to go with Ambrose. He's a little bit more of a dynamic character than Salem, because Salem, as sassy as he is, he's pretty one note. He's just sassy. That's it. Like, Ambrose, they gave him a little bit, well, at least with Ambrose, you have a little bit of depth, like, you know, because he's obviously like a human character, right?
So. Yeah. Harvey.
Neither.
I would agree. Neither. I mean, well, no, I would pick the 90s one just because like I prefer like oafish Harvey over like angsty, and then like I don't know, something about the new version and their chemistry, I didn't buy it.
I bought their chemistry. I just didn't. I don't care for either of the Harveys. I'll say in terms of love interest for Sabrina, I'm gonna pick Josh from season 4.
And I'm gonna pick Nick Scratch from the Academy of Unseen Arts.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, Nick Scratch is good. One of my best lines from that one is like where he says, like, I don't mind sharing.
Yeah.
It's just like, that's filthy and I love it.
Yeah.
All right, I take it back. Yeah, Nick Scratch.
Try me.
He wins.
Yeah.
That should be the, that's the relationship I'm more interested in for sure next season. Prue versus Libby.
Prudence.
I like Prudence too, but Libby kind of gave me the lines I live with in high school. Like she was like the archetype that I was like following without even realizing it. So I'm gonna go with Libby.
I'm just gonna go with like the overall aura that you get from Prudence and like the way she carries herself and her line delivery. And she's just such, and I'm gonna go with the sex factor. She's so sexy and attractive.
Yeah
that I definitely am like Prue all the way.
I love her hairdo.
Yeah. Here comes the question, Rolando, are you ready for it?
Go.
Was this reboot needed?
Considering this reboot is picking up from a different source material in a way,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if it was needed, to be quite honest. I think kind of taking Sabrina from the 1960s all the way through now, right? The character will obviously change. And I think this show does a good job of representing how a woman, how at least his character has changed in terms of the ideas of what feminism is, right?
Yeah.
Because I think the ideals that Sabrina in this show is fighting for are a little more inclusive of what it is to be a feminist than what like the ideas would have been in the 70s, which is, you know, what a lot of like more conservative people would think feminism is, which is like bra burning.
Yeah.
You know, just want a man hater, right? Sabrina isn't that in this show, right? In fact, Sabrina is more about like just about equality and kind of just treating people with respect. That's really what the Sabrina stands for, and I like that. So, and what about you? What do you think?
It's tough. I like that. I like that the show is kind of like timeless. You don't really know where it takes place.
That's like, very true with this show. All the architecture is like archaic.
Yeah. It's kind of like lost in time. It's in a time period of its own. But like they begin it watching a zombie movie that everyone's scared of. And I'm like, that's Night of the Living Dead. That's not scary by today's standards. So it was, I don't know. Was it needed? Was a show that embraced Satanism needed? No, but
obviously.
The depiction of, I agree with you in which way the Sabrina is presented, and then like about religion and how, question things, religion of any form isn't necessarily the greatest. It's a very atheist standpoint. But that's all it kind of gives us, and that's all we get from it. And
For season one, the show has been picked up for a second season.
Of course it has. I don't know. I'm really torn about it. I was talking to my best friend and she was like, oh, I hate watched this show.
Hate watched Sabrina?
Yeah.
I will not disagree. I hate watched it as well too. I don't want to say that it was like messing up what I envisioned for Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the memories I have, because it doesn't. They're so far removed from each other that it's not like even now, I was realizing, just like, you know what? Like, this, sure, it was a wholesome show and stuff, and it's like, they're not worshiping Satan.
Yeah.
There is something about, like, Sabrina is, like, this pure of heart person.
Yeah.
And I think both shows really do a good job of capturing that. And, like, you know, the maternal love that, like, the aunts have for her.
True. I mean, I think this show might age better than Sabrina did, because Sabrina lasted for 7 seasons and like it should have ended probably at season 3, let's be honest.
Season 4.
The moment the moment it entered the new millennium, I think the show lost its credibility almost. Credibility, that's too big of a word. It was no longer needed. The moment she went to college, it wasn't needed.
The moment she went to college, I would agree with you. The moment she went to college, I stopped watching myself.
For sure. And American TV shows have this bad habit of, you know, staying too long at the rodeo, or like, you know, not knowing when to leave, make them want more. But I do think that the show will, hopefully, I think it will grow better than the original Sabrina did.
I think Sabrina the Teenage Witch will always have like
a place
in my heart. It's part of that TGIF lineup. I was a kid watching that. I love TGIF. The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, I was very surprised at how much I actually found myself enjoying it, despite how, like, it was Riverdale with magic. basically, okay. right?
Yeah.
I didn't think I was going to like jive with it, but I also realized I love like teen dramas. Like I used to watch Dawson's Creek, The OC, Gossip Girl was a life I was living at one point in college. You know?
Yeah.
By which I mean I had a blog and I was like gossiping about people all the time.
Yeah.
Giving fraternity and sorority secrets.
You were that boy who was pretending to be a girl being like, did you see this bitch's shit? Yeah.
Kind of. Basically. I was the William Patterson whisperer, guys. I was surprised at how much I was enjoying the show, but like I guess I shouldn't have been considering I do like teen dramas.
Yeah. No, that is very much your thing.
You know?
I'm kind of like, they're both opposite sides of like one's really kitschy and campy and like has no time to even get deep or anything. It's just there for like fun. And then the other one is like way too deep, way too immersed in a certain world and just like almost over embraces shit. So I'm just like in between both of them. I'm like, eh. And that's how I feel. Hmm. So they're both okay. I don't really feel one way or the other about them. Although I'm more perturbed by the new one, but that's for personal reasons. And I'm totally told. I get that I am totally clouded by my own conspiracy theory of Satanism. I'll call it that, even though I think it's 100% real. So I'm like definitely I'm looking at it with a bias in that way. So I admit that 100%.
All right. So. Well, guys, what do you think?
Yeah, let us know.
Let us know on our social media feeds.
Uh-huh.
We're on Instagram at Remakes, Reboots, Revivals. And on Facebook, you find us as Remakes, Reboots, Revivals also.
Mm-hmm.
And our Twitter is Remakes Podcast.
Hey.
So find us. Let us know what you guys think. And, you know, we'll probably respond.
Yeah. So now let's get some news.
Eddie Z, take it away.
What do you guys think of when I say these statements? Being a bad babysitter, wishing your little brother away, going to a magical land, meeting the Goblin King.
Labyrinth.
This is Labyrinth, the 1986 cult classic.
With David Bowie?
Yes, with David Bowie.
No, wait, hang on. You have not, Nicole, like the face that she's giving right now, she seems so confused. I wish you guys could see this.
That's my face, period.
All right, Eddie Z, finish. Go ahead.
Okay, so it's getting a reboot. So the horror film director, Fediz Alvarez, is working on the project. Also, since Labyrinth was Jim Henson, so he's once again working with Jim Henson's children, Brian and Lisa Henson, and their company on this reboot. So the talk is that it's not going to be using the character, possibly not using the character, the Goblin King. But it's going to take place in the same world, in the same labyrinth world. So that's in production.
Thank you, Eddie.
Thank you, Eddie. So I know exactly why they're not going to try to even touch the Goblin King. He's such a beloved character, and he was played by David Bowie.
Mm. Oh, yeah,
like
rest
a lot
in
of
peace.
People, when they think of David Bowie, depending on who you're asking the age group, I think like a lot of 90s kids, they will associate, actually the first thing they'll associate probably the Goblin King.
Whoa, interesting.
I would
never associate that with Bowie, or at least wouldn't be one of the
like
first five.
Also, I feel you're like the exception, not the rule.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of younger people, because that came out like when we were young. That was like a movie that had come out when we were young. And
true.
You know, that's probably the first thing you see. Like, who?
And when
who,
he says we, he means 90s kids.
90s kids, yeah, because I'm a 90s kid.
Yeah. You know? I never really saw Labyrinth. I'm a big Henson fan and I love all things Henson, but this is one of the things that I have not really engaged with. So I'm going to, obviously we're going to do this for the podcast. So I'm going to be seeing both the original and now the reboot for the first time. And I'll let you know how I feel about it when that happens.
And, it's so funny. I have such dark, every time I think of Labyrinth, it's always dark for me because that movie was always playing at the doctor's office whenever I was
what?
A kid.
Really?
It was either that one or The Dark Crystal or The Secret of Nim. These three movies, I kid you not, every time I was at the doctor's office, they were always playing. So I always associate those movies with being sick. Even when we were, again, me and Eddie were at Comic-Con, and they show previews to The Dark Crystal, the new Netflix reboot.
Yeah.
Or a revival. And I was feeling queasy when I was watching it because it's just like...
I gotta go to the pediatrician. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm excited for it. I know why, you know, like I said, David Bowie's performance here is like so memorable that they're of course not going to want to like either erase it and have a new actor kind of try to like compete with that performance.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes sense that they would just take that universe and kind of just like revive it again. They're calling it a reboot. I think it's a revival, but you know, whatever, semantics here. All right, Eddie, that was great news. Thank you.
All right, so that's all Satanism she wrote, guys. All
right, so we're going to close the Book of Shadows on this this chapter of Remakes, Reboots, and Revivals.
Yeah, so until next time, stay an original. I'll say it loud. I'll say it clear. Make remakes, reboots, and revivals disappear.